Y'all ready this morning? If you would stand with me, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, John 20:21, and this will be our verse that we will read to get us started. And so Jesus said to them, again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that today we can come and gather into your house of worship. And we can hear you, Lord, and we can sense your presence with us, God. I thank you that you're already here and that you're already speaking, that you're already doing something in the hearts of your people. And so, Lord, we just ask that you'd give us the ability to quiet our spirit, and may we hear from you, God. Lord, as we begin to look at what you want us to know, just give us a clarity in our mind and in our heart so that we can hear what you want us to say, receive what you want us to receive, and then to obey what you want us to obey. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand my place in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And some of you who may have liked history growing up as a child, and you heard about a man around the time of April 18th, 1775. There was a man by the name of Paul Revere. And the challenge was that as the British was going to come their way, that they would put a lantern in the steeple. One if by land, two if by sea. And the word got out, and Paul Revere was given the commission to go and to warn. And as he rode through the towns and telling them that, you know, the British are coming, it was an indication to sound the alarm, to get everyone's attention and say, this is about to happen. The revolution is about to happen. Well, about AD 26, there was a man that stepped on the scene. His name was John the Baptist. And he was a wild guy. He was crazy. He was Jesus's crazy cousin. Anybody have one of those? And he had wild hair, wore crazy clothes, and had a strange diet. He ate locust and wild honey. And he came on the scene, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare ye the way for the Lord." And the Bible says that he was the Elijah who came as the prophet of old to declare that the Messiah is coming. And he was telling the people, get ready, get ready, get ready. There's a revolution about to happen. Tell your neighbor, get ready. There was a revolution that was on the verge of breaking through. And then one day Jesus begins his destiny. He begins to walk upon the streets, and he is met by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he steps aside and says, "I'm not worthy to baptize you," but he goes on and does it anyway. There's a scene in John. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 2. No, chapter 1, excuse me. John chapter 1. And there's a scene when Jesus is walking along, and John the Baptist has some disciples that were under him. And in John chapter 1, starting with verse 35, it says, "Again the next day, John," this is John the Baptist, "was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" You know what John the Baptist was declaring right there? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Here he is. He is the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. He is the revolutionary. He is the one that's going to come and bring God up to his people. The revolution is about to begin. Get ready. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed who? Church, one thing that we want to make sure that you're aware of, you follow no man, you follow Jesus. You don't follow me, you follow Jesus. You follow him. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who died for us. He's the one that rose again. And we want to point you straight to the cross and resurrection of Jesus, who is the Lord, who will save you from your sin and give you hope and purpose and a destiny in his revolution. Have I told you we need to let the revolution remain, because it began back then and we need it to stay. We don't need it to stop. It needs to continue to go on. It's got to remain and roll on. We'll get that in a while, okay? We want it to remain and roll on. Let's go ahead and practice that. Look at your name and say, let it remain and roll on. All right, here's what he goes. He says, Jesus turned and he saw them following, and he said, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. You got any folks out there in your life, in your world where you work at, that maybe they're just piqued maybe by what's going on? What's going on in your life? Why are you so happy? I mean, our job is miserable. Why do you come to work on Monday so cheerful? You know? I mean, you know what kind of boss we have, right? What makes you enjoy this? Come and see. Can you invite some folks just to come and see Jesus? Just to come and see his presence. One great place to do that is in his church with a body of believers who's coming here just to worship him and celebrate him, and they can sense and hear the presence of Jesus. Say, just come and see. He says, come and see. They say, where are you staying? Verse 39, come and see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, he found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated means Christ. So what did Andrew do when he met this Jesus, this revolutionary that was going to come and change the world? What was the first thing he went and did? He went and told his brother. Y'all got any family that needs to know Jesus? Y'all got some lost family members that need to know Christ? They say, hey man, I'm telling you, Jesus is, he's real. And he found first his own brother Simon. He said, and we found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. Verse 41, verse 42. He brought him to who? Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, you are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So what did Philip go do? He went and told somebody. Do y'all see a pattern forming here? Huh? What's the pattern? I meet Jesus. Then I what? I go tell someone about Jesus. And then I have them meet who? Jesus. Let the revolution remain. And what? And roll on. He's starting something here. You seeing it? He's starting something. He's gathering him 12 men, 12 disciples. Verse 46, Nathanael said to him, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, because Nazareth was kind of a city they didn't really care much for. You know, be like, can anything good come out of Clark County? I'm kidding. That's a joke. And if you are from Clark County, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I really am. I'm kidding. I did that several years ago, and we had first time guests there from Clark County. I felt so bad for a little bit. But he's like, can anything good come from Nazareth? And let's see, where am I? I lost myself. Verse 46. Nathanael said to him, and then Philip said what? Come and see. Come and see. Just come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, to whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He says, you believe me because of that, Nathaniel? You haven't seen nothing yet. Because I'm here to start a revolution. And it's going to remain. And we want the revolution to remain. And what? Roll on. So he gathers 12 disciples. If you're here on Wednesday nights, you can kind of, this kind of goes with each other, because we've been talking about Jesus' first gathering of his disciples. He gathered these 12 men, and these 12 men, they spend 3 years with Jesus in his life. And they see him do amazing things, and he also commissions them to do amazing things. He goes out and sends them out to preach the gospel, the good news. He gives them commission and authority, and he sends them out to do miraculous things. And they see Jesus. They hear Jesus teach. They see him heal blind eyes and make the lame walk and the deaf hear. And they're amazed by this man called Jesus. Jesus pours his life into these men. He tells them exactly what they are to say and where they are to go and what they are to do. And they stay 3 years with Jesus. Jesus tells them that one day they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will flee. And some of them are like, no, we'll never do that, especially Peter. No, I'll die with you, Jesus. Well, one day Jesus had his disciples together and he brought three close ones and said, would you pray for me? And he had him pray and he went away and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was about ready to fire the shot that would be heard around the world. And he goes back and his disciples are asleep. And he's like, can you not stay awake just 1 hour? Just pray. You know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And he goes and prays again. And they're asleep. And then it's night. And the torches of fire make their way. And one of his very own that was in his midst, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, comes and he kisses Jesus on the cheek. They usher him away. And they take him and they try him. And they beat him. A cat of nine tails, they rip the flesh off his back. They make him carry his own cross until he can't bear it no more. Then Simon of Cyrene picks it up and takes it the rest of the way. And there they stretch his body out and they nail him to a cross. And they lift him up. And that's Friday. Where is the hope? Where is the revolution? Did we lose? You see, Friday seems like a long day sometimes, doesn't it? Fridays, it may seem like the victory was taken right out from under your feet. On Friday, it might have seemed like this man who came to start a revolution and a new kingdom had failed. The disciples didn't know about Sunday yet. We've got the advantage, don't we? We know that Friday is just a moment. Because on Sunday morning, the Spirit of God came so much alive and quickened in Jesus that he rose from the dead. And he came back and he appeared to his disciples once again. And he told them, I'm here to tell you that there is a revolution that's going to remain. Here's what I want you to do. Make it roll on. Now, he didn't say it in those words. But that's what he did. He appeared to them. He gathered them together. And Luke tells us in Acts that he told him, you go and wait for me. You wait until you receive the power from on high. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. In Luke is the author of Acts, and in Luke 1, he says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Do you realize that it's a grave mistake to try to do God's work without God's power? When you try to go out on your own, you'll fail. And that's what happens many times. We'll get out there and we'll say, "This is what I'm going to do for the Lord." And we go out there and do it. And we're like, "Oh no, what's going on? Lord, bless it." And God's like saying, "I never told you to go to begin with." You see, the disciples learned something that many of us haven't learned yet. That it's important that you wait until you're empowered by the Lord to go do what he's called you to do. And what Jesus told them to do was to wait until they received the power. I'm glad that this group of folks weren't Baptist. Because if they had been Baptist, what they would have done is they would have formed a committee. They would have said, "Now I know Jesus said to wait, but it seems like a long time. So let's go ahead. We need to hurry this process up. So let's form us a committee and let's vote on it. And let's go out there and let's develop us some curriculum and we'll get this thing going." How many of y'all realize that without the power of God, anything we do doesn't matter? Without the power of God in our Bible studies, nothing matters. Without the power of God in our worship services, nothing matters. Without the power of God in our ministries and outreach, nothing matters. Without the power of God and his anointing over all that we do, nothing matters, because we follow a risen Lord who gives us real power to accomplish his purposes. And so this morning, what I want us to see and hear is that when we have received God's power, then we can be released to do God's purposes. He started a revolution, and he wants it to remain, and he's called disciples to follow him and to do what he's called us to do. And Jesus says, "John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit." How many of y'all realize that when we give our lives to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are baptized with his Holy Spirit? We have received the very Spirit of God that resurrected Jesus from the dead, and he empowers us to accomplish his purposes. So that's why that we can declare today that Jesus started a revolution, and he desires for it to remain and to roll on. And guess who's charged to help keep it to roll on? Us, we are. And so he has the disciples here. Verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in" where? Jerusalem. Will, you ought to know this by now. "You'll be my witnesses" where? "In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Amen. You know what we're to be, church? His witness. His witness. We talk about Jesus. We lift him up. We talk about the great things that he's doing. Because he's done mighty things throughout history, and he's continuing to do mighty things now. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that movement. I want to be a part of that revolution. I want to be right there in the army, and I want to help it roll on. What about you? Hey. God's doing something right in our midst, right here. And I'm telling you, there's big things coming. Big things have already happened. I still don't even know how we got here, but we did. Here's what I know. God keeps opening doors and we just keep walking through them. Where God guides, here's what I've learned. God provides. And he makes a way. And if we keep rolling on his revolution and making his name known and being his witness, we're going to see some great things. So he said, you wait until you receive the power from on high. And when you receive this power, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, you're going to be my witness. You're going to let the world know about what he's doing. And so they wait and they go up and they're waiting on him. And in Acts chapter 2, it says they're praying. In chapter Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. There's a key there. They were together in one place. They were in one place, but the key is they were together. You know, there's power in numbers. There's power in togetherness. You know, when we're all together with one mind, one thought, one purpose, we can do an amazing task. The more people, the more possibilities to do things that we could not do by ourselves. You know, if 10 of us want to get together, we can accomplish a little bit. 100 of us get together, we can accomplish a little bit more. Several hundred get together, you can accomplish even more. When we all come together with one mind, one thought, one purpose, amazing things can happen. And they're together in the upper room. And they're praying. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it says, and they appeared to them, tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And an amazing thing happened on the day of Pentecost. They began to speak in other languages. And the people that was there gathering to worship and to celebrate the festivity of Pentecost, they began hearing people preach in their own native language. And people began to say, I can't understand this. I'm hearing them speak. Aren't these men Galilean? Why am I hearing them speak in my language? And there's all kinds, if you can read through that list, there's all kinds of different nationalities there. There's all kinds of different various tongues there. There's all kinds of different people there. And it says that they heard them speak and preach in their own language. And it's even more specific than that. It means that they heard them even in their own dialect. So if I would have been there, Tammy, I would have heard them preaching in Eastern Kentucky. Where they would have said, and they saw one like the Son of God. And I would have been blown away. I mean, it was an amazing thing. God was doing something amazing. The revolution had begun. God's Spirit was moving. There were some folks saying, these people are whacked out. They are drunk. They accused them of being drunk. Peter said, no, it's not late enough yet to be drunk. These men, what you're seeing here, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy in Joel that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, so that all believers now, when they confess faith in Jesus Christ, receive the Spirit of God to live in them, to empower them, to do what he wants us to do. How many of y'all realize that you cannot accomplish what God wants you to do in your own flesh? It takes the Spirit of God living in us to live for him every single day. And so he starts this revolution and he has Peter preach the first message and thousands of people are coming to know him. And there's a movement on the brink, and it's moving, and it's breaking out. And as they go on, Peter begins to continue to preach. And then chapter 3 of Acts, it says, now Peter and John were going up into the temple. This is chapter 3, verse 1, at the ninth hour to prayer. And I'll get to verse 6 in a minute. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they had used to sit every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately he left his feet, and his ankles were strengthened. We have to be a church that believes in the miraculous transforming power of an almighty God. We have a lot of lame people out there in the world. We have a lot of people that are hurting. They're desperate and they're dying. And they're trapped by sin. They're trapped by addiction. They're trapped by chaos. And I'm telling you, it's time once again for the church to be able to have the power to say, get up on your feet and rise. We've got to be a church that continues to bless this community. You see, we're not just a church. We're part of a movement. This isn't just a body to come in together and let's all high-five each other and say, man, haven't we done something? No, we're part of a revolution that is supposed to remain, that is beyond these church walls, that's all around us to those who are hurting. And it's exciting to see the activities and the outreaches that we do accomplish. And I want to brag on you just for a moment, church, for the many things that you do to make a splash in this community. Those of you who went out to Hope Hill, thank you all so much to bless them and work on that. Those who are doing our splash events, when we go out there, and whether it be fifth quarters for the high schoolers, or whether it be the Operation Du Bois Project, whether it be the Laundry for Jesus that's coming up here shortly. Everything that we do, the missions, the world outreach that we reach, the impact that we're making to Haiti, to Guatemala, the impact that we're going to have through Operation Christmas Child. I'm telling you, that's part of a revolution that is to remain and to what? Roll on. I'm glad to be a part of that kind of church. What about you? Let's never stop being that type of church. I'm gonna show a video clip real quick. This is gonna be the next series, okay? This is what we're gonna start next week, and here's what I wanna do. I'm gonna ask some guys. If you don't care, I don't know. I didn't ask. We need a total of six guys. So whoever can make their way up. After we watch this video clip, I want to explain how we're gonna pass these out. But watch this, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to begin a series called What If? Because there's a lot of people. What I want to do, Mike, if you would, pass those baskets. Let them pass them down like if there is passing communion. And take three cards. We want every one of these cards gone. Take three cards. And I want you to begin praying on who you want to give those to. It might be a family member, a work, somebody you work with, and it could be a neighbor. I don't know. It could be three people you work with. It could be three neighbors. I don't know. But take your three cards, because you know what? We are a part of a revolution that is to remain and to what? Roll on. How many of y'all know that there are some beggars out there that need help? That there are some people that's been busted up by life that need help. What if next week could be the life-changing moment for the rest of their life? What if next week you are part of this revolution that Jesus started back then, and he wants it to remain and roll on? And what if by you simply handing a card to someone and saying, I want to invite you out to church with me next week, that they might hear about Jesus, give their life to Christ, and go to heaven and have their life changed completely here on earth? How many of y'all would like to see some of your friends have eternal life in Jesus Christ? Huh? How many of y'all have some friends that need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I'm telling you, church, there's power in the name of Jesus. Let's don't get caught up in all the stuff that we have and lose the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about a show, it's about Jesus. It's not about a stage, it's about Jesus. It's not about lights, it's about Jesus. It's not about videos, it's about Jesus. G.K. Chesterton tells a story of St. Francis of Assisi, who visited Rome, and he visited the Pope. And the Pope was giving him a tour of the Vatican, and he was personally showing him all the wondrous treasures there in the Vatican. And the Pope looks at St. Francis, and he says, Peter can no longer say, silver and gold I have none. And St. Francis said, neither can he say, rise up and walk. We never get too caught up in the side effects that we miss the main show. And Jesus is the show. There are people who desperately need Christ, and they need him. And we need to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Get up and rise. Be healed. Be transformed. Be made new. They heal this guy. And you would think that the people around would be excited because this man was a beggar. They knew him. And you would think that the religious people would be excited that this have when you face churches with religious people. You know that? You know, most of the people that they don't like to see churches grow are religious people. Most people who have hard times with churches are, and when God begins to move, are religious folk. And these religious folk, they didn't like what was going on. And so they call Peter and Ian, Peter and John. And they're asking him, how how'd you heal this guy, you know? And they said, you know, if you think that we did this with our own power, you got to think again. But it is the power of Jesus that healed this man. Well, you know what they did? They arrested him. They flogged him. And they said, you know, here's what I want you to do. We don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus any longer. This man just got delivered. And he said, we don't want this name mentioned ever again. You don't preach about his name. What do you think? It depends on your attitude here. Are you one that cowers in fear, or one that just goes dead on in confidence? It depends on where your authority comes from, doesn't it? In Acts chapter 4, go ahead and put that verse on there for me. Verse 13. It says, when they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. People notice a difference when you've been in the presence of Jesus. Because he makes a difference. Do people notice that about you? They walk in the place where you work and they recognize, man, that's a woman that's been with Jesus. That's a man that's been with Jesus. So they go on, they tell him, do not speak any longer about this name. Then verse 19. Go on to verse 19, Acts 4:19. And when they had summoned them, this is verse 18, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Here's what the response was. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't stop. You can tell me no. You can tell me to shut up. You can tell me to leave my Bible in the car. And I'll say, I can't stop telling people about Jesus. I can't stop. Because I'm part of a revolution that's to remain and what? Roll on. So they flog them and thought that they were doing something, and they head back to their Christian brothers and sisters. You know what they do? They don't set up a complaint meeting, nor do they start a picket meeting. They start a prayer meeting. And they cry out to the Lord, and they give praise unto God for what has happened. And they make this prayer. I'm going to jump down to verse 30 in chapter 4, and then we'll be closing. One of the things is he said, well, let's start with verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place to the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. We're living in some times where we need boldness. Okay? We see things going around in the other parts of the world, in Europe, and we think, well, that could never happen here. It could. Sure could. There may be a day where your faith and your life are just like this. And the question is going to be, is will we have boldness? Church, as we have this invitation, I'm going to ask for some of us, if you would, let's pray. Let's pray for boldness. Let's pray for witness. Let's pray for power. Let's pray that this revolution remains and rolls on. Let's pray for God to do a mighty work in the life of this church. Okay, I'm going to have a specific altar call. I'm asking you to come and pray for God's movement and his power upon the life of this church. Okay? If God wants to shake this place, let him shake it. But we have got to have the power of God reaching out, because I'm telling you, what we're about to see happen in this community is going to be amazing if we stay focused on what God wants us to do. If you need to know Christ as Lord and Savior, today would be a great day to do that. You come and say, Grant, I need to give my life to Christ. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, have your way in us, and God, move us. May we be a part and embrace this revelation that you started way back then, and you want it to remain and roll on. Lord, help us as we help it roll on, as we continue to flow in your Holy Spirit, in your power, in your will, in your ways. We want to build your kingdom for your glory and your good. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's come. Pray for specific ministries. Pray for the work of God in the church. Pray for one another. Whatever God's laid in your heart to come. And let's pray for boldness, for power, for God's Spirit to move.
Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Since day.
Pause for a moment as we play. Mike, if you don't care, can we get the offering bags going? If you would like to bless the Pearson family, feel free to drop whatever you want to in that bag. This is what's called a free will love offering, okay? Don't feel obligated that you have to put something in it. If God lays that on your heart to do so, we want to give you that opportunity to bless them and bless that family, okay? So, as that's going through, let's continue to worship. Let's continue to sing. If you need to come and receive Jesus as Lord, would you come on and say, you know, I want to be part of this revolution. I want to be a part of this King, this Messiah, this Lord, this movement. I want to be a part of that. I want my sins forgiven, and I want to go to heaven, and I want to be changed. You can do that today. He enlists. He says, come on. Who wants to join this morning? Come.